Well, good morning. It is good to be together again as we continue to worship God and the as we enter the time of the ministry of the Word and the exposition of the Scriptures. And let's begin by praying. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for all that was accomplished on our behalf, all that you set out to do before the foundation of the world, of the universe, all that you set out to do and all that you predetermined to do and all that you did, all that you have done. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the way that you established that we would gather together to worship you, as the way that you established that we would gather together and, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word. And we thank you for that, and thank you for this time. And we just ask your blessing upon this time in the word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we have spent the last few weeks, we've been in Acts, and we've been the last few weeks doing an introduction, or not really an introduction, but covering the beginnings as we've seen the church gathered after Jesus resurrected and the church was gathered. The 120 were gathered together in the upper room. They were gathered together, and we've discussed the last few weeks this thing, this glorious thing that occurred, this historical day. It was a historical day. It was something that occurred, something that was really the beginning of something new. And we talked about that sort of like the church. There's always been those who had faith in God, those who had faith in the coming Messiah. But there was something different that happened here when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon these people. And the church was sort of what had been hidden was revealed, was put on display. And we saw that the 120 that were gathered there received the Holy Spirit. And we talked about how there was a sound that filled the room. They were gathered together, and a sound filled the room on what? On the day of Pentecost. And this sound was like a mighty rushing wind. A sound loud enough. Okay, so they're gathered together. It was a sound loud enough that everyone in the area heard the sound. It was loud enough that it drew this large crowd, this multitude of Jews came to see what the sound was. This multitude of the Jews who were dwelling in Jerusalem, a lot of them had come into town for this very occasion, for the Pentecost. But there were people there from all over the world. It spoke of there being both Jews and proselytes, which a proselyte was just someone who had converted to Judaism. So the Jews weren't only just the natural Jews, but there were people that had come in from other countries that had converted to Judaism. So you actually had Jews and you had Gentiles who were proselytes who worshipped God. So we found that this multitude had heard the sound and they came. They came to see what it was. And what did they see? We found that they were bewildered because they heard these people beginning to speak. They heard the sound came, and these people all began to speak as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they heard them speaking in their native languages. They were bewildered, mentioned in the Scripture in the first part of chapter 2, that they were bewildered, they were amazed, and they were astonished. And the comment was made, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? Are these not Galileans that are speaking? We hear them speaking in our language. Are they not Galileans?" So you might ask, well, why would they say that? Well, the Galileans were sort of they lived outside of Jerusalem, but they were sort of a lot of the Galileans were kind of lower, sort of on the lower end of classes, if there were classes, a lot of them uneducated. You know, we knew that all the disciples were, or most of them were fishermen. The apostles were fishermen. So these uneducated people, this people that are not the elite, not the educated ones, now these Galileans are speaking speaking in other languages, or we can hear them in other languages. So they question that. and they were bewildered. They were like, you know, they were saying, they hear them, they're hearing them teach. It said that they were teaching the great works of God, the mighty works of God. They were speaking the mighty works of God, and they heard them speaking in their own tongue, in their own languages. And in verse 12, it again said, they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" So you can imagine how they come, and there's Galileans, these fishermen, Galileans, these uneducated, supposedly men, these uneducated men are there. These Galileans, the lower class, the ones that would not be teaching the things of God, and now they're declaring the mighty works of God, and we hear them in our own language. So they're perplexed, and they look at each other and say, "What does this mean?" But you know, we finished that last section with some mocking and saying, "Oh, they're filled with new wine, filled with new wine." And then we come to our text this morning. So they've heard these things taught, or they've heard them speaking the mighty works of God in languages, and they're perplexed and amazed and don't know what's going on. And so some asked, "What does this mean?" And some mocked. And then we come to our text for this morning, the very first verse, Acts 2:14. "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words.'" So here we find Peter standing with the 11, lifting up his voice and addressing them. Think about it for just a minute. This is Peter is standing. He stands before this great multitude. This great multitude is rushed to the area when they hear this sound. This great multitude comes, and they've heard this. And some are, you know, there's like a commotion. You can imagine the commotion. Some are saying, "What does this mean?" And some are mocking. You know, they're full of these men are full of new wine. But here's Peter standing with the 11, lifting up his voice, and he begins to speak to them, and he says, "Men of Judea, let this be known to you. Let this be known to you. Listen to what I say. Give ear to my words." But do you see a difference in Peter here? You see a difference in him? This is the same man that like 53 days earlier, he followed behind as Jesus was arrested and led into the courtyard. Maybe 53 days. I mean, I could be off a day or two, but somewhere around that amount of time ago, he's in the courtyard, and a young girl comes up to him and asks, "Aren't you one of his disciples?" And he denied that he even knew Jesus three times, just 53 days earlier. This is the same Peter. He denied that he even knew Jesus. Why did he do that? I think out of fear of what was going to happen. Jesus is under arrest, and he's fearful for his own life. And now we find him standing with the 11 as this great crowd comes. He stands with the 11 and begins to speak. He stands with the 11, which at least 10 of those, we know we have another one that has been appointed, but the apostles had run scared. Do you remember where they were when Jesus appeared to them the first time? They were in a room, what, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. So they had gone back to the upper room and hid. They were hiding, locking the door, afraid of the Jews. And this was after Jesus had been crucified and he was buried. So they had locked themselves in the room for fear of the Jews just after Jesus had died. And now we see the 11 standing up there. You see them stand in front of this crowd, and Peter began to speak and declare, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." Give ear to my words. So we see a drastically different Peter as he stands up and starts to declare to this multitude. Also think about this. How many was there? We know, if we skip to the end of the story, if you know the end of the story already, there were at least 3,000, were there not? But there was a multitude of even more than that, so there were at least 3,000 people there as Peter stands up and begins to proclaim to this multitude. So we might ask, what is the difference with Peter? I think we all know what the difference is, but let's just discuss it a little bit. What is the difference? Well, to begin with, Peter, when he had denied the Lord, that the Lord was under, that he even knew Jesus, he was under arrest. Peter had seen, and the apostles had seen, that Jesus had been crucified. But from that time, between then and now, to begin with, they had seen the risen Lord. They had spent time with the risen Lord. Jesus appeared to them at different times within that 40 days. Jesus had appeared to them, and it spoke of him opening their minds to the Scriptures. Opening their minds to the Scriptures, to the Old Testament. These were Jews. They knew of the Old Testament. They knew the Old Testament. But Jesus opened their minds to show them that all that they knew and all that was in the Scriptures, the Law of Moses. He showed them that the Law of Moses and the prophets, all the prophecies, all the books of the prophets in the Old Testament, the Psalms, he showed them. He opened their minds so they could see how all of these things pointed to him, how they all spoke of him. So their minds had been opened. They had been given understanding of how all of those things spoke of him and how Jesus had fulfilled them in his suffering and rising from the dead on the third day. So they were fearful before because they didn't understand, but Jesus had opened their minds to it and explained to them that these things were prophesied here, and he showed them, explained to them that these things spoke of me, and I came to die, and I've risen from the grave, and I will go to the Father. And he had told them that when I go to my Father, I will send the Holy Spirit. I will send the Holy Spirit. So he'd given the promise of that. And now, we saw the last few weeks, and now he had sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had been poured out upon them. They had received the power from on high. So the big difference in Peter and the other apostles is they had seen the risen Lord, and now the Holy Spirit had completely indwelt them. They had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, immersed in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was indwelling them fully. And they were empowered, emboldened to speak these truths. That's what's changed in Peter and the other apostles. It's not that they changed or they finally got some courage. It's that they knew the risen Lord and they'd received power from on high. They were indwelt with the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit was empowering them and giving them the words to say, and they understood. And that's what's changed. That's what has changed some fearful men hiding behind a locked door to now this group of men that are empowered and standing before this huge multitude that's rushed to the scene to try to see what's happened. Before this great crowd, and the scripture describe the crowd as devout men. These are devout men from all nations who resided in Jerusalem. So this crowd of devout men who had knowledge of the scriptures, I think. These men had knowledge of the scriptures that came to see what's going on. I think we can see by their comment that, are these not Galileans? Sort of like, are these Galileans speaking these things? I think in my mind that these were learned. A lot of these men were learned men. They'd come to Jerusalem for the feast. Devout men. They were devout in Judaism. So I think they said, are these not Galileans? Is sort of, in my mind, makes me think of, well, they looked down upon the Galileans. So these were kind of, a lot of these people knew the scriptures. Were educated. So these men came and they said, how can they speak to us these things, speaking of the great works of God and in our own language? So this great crowd of devout men who knew the scriptures, but men who upon whom they knew the scriptures, I think most of these men knew the scriptures, probably had lots of it memorized, yet these were men upon whom the truth of the gospel had not yet been revealed. They didn't know who Christ was, but they knew the scriptures. They knew of the Messiah. They knew of the Messiah, the promised one, but they didn't understand. They had not realized who Christ was or believed. These were men who knew the scriptures but had not been regenerated. They had not been regenerated to truly understand what the scriptures that they so looked up to and so held in high esteem, they were not given the understanding to even know what they meant yet. But they had them in their minds. They had the scriptures in their minds. So they rush up to the scene to see what's going on when they hear the sound. And Peter, let's read, we'll back up just a little bit and read the entire, really a sermon that Peter preaches, in front of this large group of people. Let's back up to verse 11, Acts 2, verse 11. It's talking about all the people that were gathered and they were hearing the languages in their own languages. Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own languages, in our own tongues, the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit. They shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added to that day about 3,000 souls. Praise the Lord. And as we think of this first proclamation of the gospel, the first proclamation of Christ and who he was, we see that it resulted in 3,000 souls being added to the number that day. 3,000 souls. But let us go back to the beginning of the sermon. So we left off last week after they heard the sound and they came and they heard them speaking in these different languages, asking, what can this mean? What does this mean? Here Peter answers their question. Some asked, what does this mean? And then some mocked and said, you know, they're filled with new wine. Which just is strange to me. I mean, you're hearing somebody and you're speaking your language, it's a Galilean, and you say, well, they're filled with new wine, but they mocked in that way. But Peter gives the answer here in the first few verses to that question they had. He said, "For these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." It is only the third hour of the day. So they mocked and said they're drunk with new wine. And Peter lifted up his voice to address them and said, you know, he begins with, "Listen to my words. Let this be known to you. Give ear to my words." And then he declares here, answering them, "They're not drunk as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day." So he says, these men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only the third hour of the day, which was when? It was 9 o'clock in the morning. So it was known. He answers them really just with reason here, but it would have been abnormal. I did some reading on it. At 9 o'clock in the morning, it was not known of any of even the other Gentile nations. It was just completely unheard of that even the most debased people, wicked people around, there were none of them that would start their wickedness before 9 o'clock in the morning. You know, most would sleep late in the day. You know, so it just makes no sense. These men, you say these men are drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. So he begins just with a reasonable response here, saying, you know, saying that this doesn't make any sense. It was an absurd statement to begin with, and he says it there. You know, he just says that they're not drunk as you suppose, since it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. It's only the third hour of the day. But then he goes on. He says, it's not what you suppose. It's not what you who are mocking are saying. It's not that they're drunk. It's not, that makes absolutely no sense. But he says, it's not what you suppose. It's not what you suppose, but what you are so perplexed about and amazed about is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Peter declares here that what you've witnessed here today, when he says, "Men of Judea and all who listen, or all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. Listen, give ear to my words." What you have witnessed today, what you've seen today, is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. It's what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And then he goes on to speak of the prophet Joel. He says, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my male servants and female servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." He begins with "in the last days." Peter is declaring here, as he begins, "in these last days, in the last days it shall be," which was a different wording than what the prophet Joel actually said. The prophet Joel, after giving a bunch of prophecy about judgment coming, there's a promise to Israel that they would know that the Lord had dwelt among them. They would know that the Lord was with them, that God was with them. So there's this declaration of judgment, and then also this reassurance that he begins it with, "And after these things, God declares that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." But here Peter is saying, in these last days, he's declaring in this that something is different. A new era has begun. In these days, he declares that this time that Joel spoke of was at hand. What Joel had spoken of was at hand, and they were witnessing the fulfillment of this prophecy in Joel. They were witnessing the fulfillment of it. That when Joel had declared, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh." Notice that, "I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Even on your sons and your daughters. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters, your young and your old. Even on your slaves, male and female slaves, I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy." So here Peter's declaring to the men of Judea, all those who dwelt in Jerusalem and that were there at that time, he's declaring to them that a new time was at hand. The last days had begun. The last days are here. And he spoke of the Holy Spirit being poured out on all types of people, young and old, male and female, and that they would prophesy. That they would prophesy. So you might ask, as I have, okay, the last days have begun. Have you ever read these texts and said, "Why is this still going on?" Or, you know, what happened to prophecy? You might ask, I've asked that in my head before, but is prophecy still going on? Do we prophesy? Well, I declare to you that we do. Yes, we do prophesy. Because this, we always think of prophecy. This is my thinking. We always think of prophecy in a category of telling of future events. But that's not what the prophets always did. They told of future events, but they also came and delivered the word of God to a people at that present time. The word of God spoke, and he would say, "Take this and deliver it to the people. Perhaps they will repent." You know, there was that idea of calling for repentance. But I think there is a sense in which people prophesy in that they're applying the word of God. They're declaring the word of God to a people. They're declaring the word of God to a people. So there's a sense in which we prophesy whenever we take the word of God and declare it to a people and explain what it means. There's a sense that God is speaking through, you know, his word is being spoken. His word has been spoken. Now, when I'm speaking of that, I'm not speaking of creating new texts, but it's more of applying the word of God that we have to today. And also, as we read and understand the word of God by the unction of the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit gives us understanding and we read the word of God, as he gives us understanding about what the word of God means, as the Holy Spirit is working in us to do that, applying it to us, there's a sense in which the same thing that happens in prophecy is happening to us. The Word of God is being driven into our hearts, applied to our lives. And also, when the Holy Spirit works within us to write the laws on our hearts, to cause us to see and believe, there's a difference in the old covenant and the new, in that we no longer need a prophet. You know, used to, the Holy Spirit would come in and would inspire a prophet to go to a people and tell them a particular thing. Well, we no longer need that because we have the Word of God given to us. The Word of God has been given. We have the Scripture. We have the Word of God. The Holy Spirit has been sent to give us understanding. And so there is a sense in which this all continues. But what they were seeing here is the idea that the Holy Spirit was poured out on a people and they began to prophesy. They began to speak the truth of God, the truth of what all had occurred. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the church, when the Holy Spirit was given to a people, to a particular people, that where the Holy Spirit was poured out and indwells a people, indwells all believers, from now on there's a new era here has begun. It's a different, it's a new day. As Peter begins to preach, this is a new day. People are permanently indwelt by the Holy Spirit. That same Holy Spirit that used to go and send prophets to people so that they would hear the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is now indwelling us, giving us understanding where we can hear the Word of God. And then the Holy Spirit would also lead the apostles, and a few men to pen the Word of God that we now speak from, that the Word of God that we now declare these truths from. So when the Holy Spirit is working within us and helping us to understand the Word of God, applying the Word of God to our lives, He's accomplishing the same thing He used to do, even more so than when He sent prophets of old to the people of God. We have the Word of God and we have the Holy Spirit to give us understanding. And here Peter answers by saying to this people, the time is at hand. In the same scripture he answers on, the same scripture that brought this picture of judgment coming, he speaks of the time being at hand. These last days are at hand. He spoke of judgment coming, but then in verse 21 we read, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's this promise of the way that in the last days the Holy Spirit would be poured out, and that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. And what shall they be saved from? Well, saved from the judgment, saved from the condemnation that comes, saved from the wickedness, like James talked about in the text this morning, saved from, really saved from the being in bondage to sin. That sin no longer has control. They're taken away from that, but primarily saved from the judgment that would come against sin from God. And so Peter answers these people, describing that what you have witnessed is what Joel has previously talked about, that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all people. And I think Peter doesn't even get it completely. There were people from all nations there speaking all these languages. When he says the all people, I think Peter, as Peter's preaching, he's not even thinking of Gentiles yet. You know, that happens a little bit later on in Acts, but the idea that the Holy Spirit would be poured out on all peoples even is taught at the beginning, as we see the other languages. But he begins by answering them that is what you've seen here. And then he goes on and says, men of Israel, we're just going to go through all this pretty quick and we'll be in it for a few weeks, I'm sure. But men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless people. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. So he declares again, men of Israel, hear these words. Hear these words. So he's declaring again, listen to what I say. He's already said, he gave the explanation of the sound. It's what Joel spoke of the Holy Spirit being poured out. And now he says, men of Israel, listen, hear these words. In these last days, God declares that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And he speaks of those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. They might say, well, call upon the name of the Lord. And then he goes on, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus, a man shown to you by God, this man who was attested to you by God, by mighty works and wonders and signs done by God among you in your midst, this man that you know of, this man who was attested to you by God, this man, Jesus. So he's answering the question of calling upon the name of the Lord. He begins to answer that question. But he says, this Jesus who bore witness where God did all these mighty works through him, this Jesus was delivered up according to what? According to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. This Jesus was delivered up. He was crucified and killed by the definite plan of God. God planned this out, but Jesus was crucified and killed. This was done by the plan of God. It was worked out and planned by God. But then he says, he talks about the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. But then he says, men of Israel, you crucified and killed this man Jesus by the hands of lawless men. So he declared that this was all planned by God, but he puts these people he's speaking to into the picture here because they had participated in it. He's speaking of Israel. You participated in it, Israel, and you had him killed by the hands of lawless men. So he's declaring to these men of Israel to listen to these words. And here Peter puts them, the men who were listening, into their place in the account. They were part of it. They had a hand in Jesus dying on the cross. They had a hand in it, as we all have had a hand in it. Because how did we have a hand in him dying on the cross? Because he came to die as an atonement for sin. But here, He puts them in the context there that they had a hand in it, but he declares to them that he was delivered according to the definite plan of God. He was crucified by sinful men, by the men of Israel. They had a small role in it, but it was by his plan that it was worked out, because he came to die for sinful men. And then Peter goes on to describe, he describes that this was by the plan of God that this happened. But he goes on to show, like he did with the pouring of the Holy Spirit he showed that it was spoken of by Joel. And then he shows here that the resurrection, he shows here that the resurrection was by the hand of God. The resurrection was by the hand of God. Here he speaks of what David had spoken. Here he uses the scriptures again. He witnesses to the people here that the way the scriptures spoke of all this coming to pass. He quotes what David had said in one of the Psalms. He says, David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, and I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will make me full of gladness with your presence. So Peter goes on to show that this Jesus whom you killed, whom you had crucified by the hands of lawless, sinful men, this Jesus, is the same Jesus that David spoke of. The resurrection was spoken of beforehand, where you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. This was all speaking of Christ. It was all speaking here. The scriptures are bearing witness to these hearers, these first century hearers, these men who had a role in the crucifixion of Jesus. But the scriptures bearing witness through the preaching of Peter and to us that Jesus was what? He was this Holy One that David spoke of. He was the Anointed One. He was the Christ, the Messiah, the promised seed of David. As Peter continues in the next section, brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. He has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and reading. So we see here that that the Holy Spirit through Peter is speaking to these men, showing them that what they had witnessed was something that Joel had spoken of. And then now he goes directly to Christ and shows how Christ is the promised one. Christ is the promised one. And he begins by saying, brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried. But he begins with brothers, I think appealing to them. These are fellow Jews, but in my mind I can't help but wonder if he's saying brothers, confidently knowing that shortly many of these that are hearing him will become his true brothers in Christ, as he declares the truth here of the gospel. But he says with confidence that David is dead and buried. So he's proving here that the scripture that David wrote, he was speaking here about a prophet, about the resurrection of Christ. And notice that again in verse 32 and verse 33, where we see this Jesus God raised up, and of that we are witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. He has poured out this that you are seeing and hearing. And with this further proof from David, Peter goes on to speak and to to apply the script, the Old Testament scripture to these men, showing that it was Jesus himself, the Holy One, the promised seed is the one that David was speaking of. This Holy One was not allowed to see corruption, but was raised from the dead. And it is he that is sitting at the right hand of the Father. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father, and it is he that was given the promise of the Holy Spirit, and it was he, Christ Jesus, the Holy One, the promised seed, that actually poured out the Spirit upon those that they, and it caused the sound that they had all witnessed. So Peter began to show these people, these men, these devout men, as they listen, that this Jesus, whom they were a part of crucifying, they were there, they were part of the nation that crucified him, this Jesus, God has made him both Lord and Christ. He says that this Jesus, God has made him both Lord and Christ. In verse 36, let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. So when Peter began and he quoted Joel, when we read the first, he began this whole account, these 3, 4, 5,000 people are there. This crowd is gathered around and they're confused and wondering what's going on. Like I think James said, I think the sound, as he spoke of that, was the purpose of the sound was to attract these people to come. I mean, this crowd came and they're there around there and they're perplexed. And the Holy Spirit causes that big group of people to start speaking as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, and these men heard them speaking the great works of God in their own languages, and so they're there and they're perplexed, wondering what's going on. So they're there, and when Peter began and he quoted Joel, when there at the end of Joel, he quoted that they would prophesy, but at the very ending of that section, he said, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Quoting from Joel, he says that, and then he went on in the very next sentence. He quoted Joel right here, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he continues, men of Israel, hear this word, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. So he explains to the people what has happened from the scripture. And then he goes on to explain that it is Christ. It is Christ who is the fulfillment of that prophecy in Joel. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, hear my words, men of Israel. This Jesus of Nazareth is the man that was attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. He declared, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, you know him. You saw the signs and the wonders and works he did. You saw that. And then he continued as he's preaching through this. He said, this Jesus God raised up, and of that we're witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. So he quotes the Joel prophecy that God would pour out his Spirit, and then he speaks of, in these last days, he's speaking of the name of those who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then he points them to Christ, to Jesus of Nazareth, saying, this man was attested to you by God. And he's saying, this very Jesus God raised up, And of that we are all witnesses. We saw him. We are witnesses of him. And now he's been exalted to the right hand of God. And he received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. And he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. It is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And then he concludes the whole message with the text. Let all the house of Israel therefore know, let all of you therefore know for certain God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus. He has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you have crucified, whom you have crucified. So to conclude, just to and we'll spend some more time on this, but when we think about this first message, the Holy Spirit empowered message that Peter preaches to this large group of Jews, as we look at this first sermon, really, the first sermon of the Christian church, really, because, you know, empowered by the Holy Spirit as this new era had begun, this first public proclamation of the gospel to a large group. The gospel had been told for years past, but now we have the resurrected Lord sitting at the right hand of the Father, pouring out his Spirit on his people. Empowered by that Spirit, they begin to proclaim the truth without fear. A new era, the first public proclamation of the gospel to this large group of people. And we see this changed Peter, this empowered Peter, a confident man, standing up declaring and saying, "Listen to me, men of Israel, listen." This empowered man of God standing up preaching the truth. And what did he preach? What did he preach? I think there's a good thing for us to consider here. What did Peter preach? Empowered with the Holy Spirit. Did he begin, as we often tend to, some of us, I mean, I've heard people say, you know, talking about the preaching. What should we be preaching about? Did he begin with a story? Or did he preach or talk any about his experience? He had just received the Holy Spirit. Did he speak of his experience or anything that had happened to him? Did he speak about, you know, guys, I was out fishing and let me tell you what has happened to me. You know, we see all throughout the scripture the evidence of all of these sermons. It's not so much about what has happened to them. But what did they do? They preached about Christ. They preached about Christ and who he was and what he had done and what he had accomplished. They didn't go and preach about these great benefits you could receive if you received Christ. If you will just do this, I promise that things will happen in your lives, you know. He didn't go and tell people, you know, if you will believe this message that I have, you'll be blessed with health and wealth and all the problems of life will go away. He didn't go and say, if you will just be obedient in this, if you will be obedient, if you will do these things, God will then act. God will then act and give you blessings. Cause you to, because based on what you did, God will give you things or God's going to give you salvation. None of these things. What did he do? He stood up and publicly declared the word of God. He publicly declared Christ and who Christ was. And that's what we need to be about. We preach Christ and him crucified. We preach Christ and him being the one fulfilling the scriptures of the Old Testament. We preach Christ as being the one who was promised, the promised seed of David that came to take away the sins of the world. We preach Christ, the Passover Lamb, the true Lamb of God who came and died for sinners. That's what we preach. We preach Christ. And I just want to declare to you, brothers, I want to declare with you completely, with full confidence, I declare to you for certain, I mean for certain, with no doubt, that this Jesus whom we preach, this Jesus, God has made him both Lord and Christ. No matter what you think, He has made him Lord and Christ, and he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. As we stand here this day, he is standing at the right hand of the Father. And I just declare to you that it is true. He is Lord and Christ. Believe it. I call on you to believe it. The debt has been paid for sinners on the cross. He died in our place. He's there. He pours out his Spirit. I declare to you that it is true, and I encourage you to believe. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for, Lord, just all the promises that we see in the scripture, all the promises that we can go back from the time of creation and see the promises of this Christ, of this Jesus who came and lived and died, Father, and this historical person, the person that, Lord, that as a fact came and lived and died and was seen risen from the grave, and that so many witnessed alive, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you that you preserved your word so that we can know that, and we thank you for just for the complete finished work that we can Lord, that we can know you by trusting completely in that work, and we can have the, Lord, just the bondage of sin taken away. And Father, I just pray that if there's anyone here that, Lord, that has seen these truths for a first time, that you would just, Lord, just draw them to yourself. Father, we just ask that you would give them understanding and give them the faith to believe. And Father, we just thank you again for this day, and thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.